Praised be Jesus and Mary. St. Catherine of Alexandria, who we remember today, is the patroness of philosophers and preachers. Hers was one of the voices that was heard by St. Joan of Arc. She was born in the 4th century of nobility, and before her baptism, she had a dream, and she saw the Blessed Virgin asking her son to receive her among his servants. But the divine infant turned away, saying she was not yet regenerated by the waters of baptism. So she didn't waste any time in receiving that sacrament. And afterwards, when the dream was repeated, Catherine was received with great affection, and our Lord espoused her before the court of heaven with a very fine ring. And when she woke up, the ring was actually on her finger, and she was quite gifted intellectually, and even undertook the study of philosophy and theology. And at that time, there were schools in Alexandria where excellent Christian scholars taught. She made great progress and became able to defend the truths of the faith, even against the cunning sophists. And at that time, Maximinus was emperor of Egypt, and he ordinarily resided in Alexandria. And when he announced that there would be this huge pagan sacrifice with many bulls and sheep being offered to their false gods, St. Catherine strove to strengthen the Christians against the fatal errors of the infidels, and proclaiming that they were pure illusions originating from the depths of hell. She foresaw that soon it would be the Christians' turn to be immolated, you know, when they refused to participate in the ceremonies. Therefore, to prevent this, she went to the emperor herself and said that it was a strange thing, you know, that he should, by his example, attract so many people to such an abominable cult, and that by his high office, he was obliged to turn them away from it, since reason itself shows us that there can only be one sovereign being. And she begged him to cease so great a tragedy by giving the true God the honor due to him, lest he reap the wages of his indifference in this life already, as well as in the next. And the emperor decided to call 50 of his sophists to bring back Catherine from her errors. And a large audience assembled, and the emperor, with the emperor, you know, to hear the debate. St. Catherine began by saying to the emperor that if the true God she adored rendered her victorious, that he should adopt her religion and renounce the cult of the demons. But he was kind of put off by this and replied that it wasn't for her to lay down conditions for the discussion. And the head of the sophists began by you know, reprimanding Catherine for opposing the authority of the poets, and should consider that, you know, these persons predated this new religion that she was following. And she listened carefully, you know, before answering, and then spoke, showing that the fables which Homer and the poets had invented, you know, concerning their divinities were ridiculous. The fact that many offered a cult to them, as well as the abominable crimes attributed to them, you know, proved them to be gods only in the opinion of the untutored and the gullible. Then she went on to prove that the prophecies of the Hebrew scriptures, and you know, had clearly announced the time and the circumstances of the life of the future Savior, and that these were now fulfilled. So Prodigy, the head of the Sophist, acknowledged that you know, she was entirely correct and renounced his errors. And the others said, well, they could not oppose their mentor. So Maximinus, the emperor, had them all put to death by fire. But the fire did not consume their remains. And, you know, just proving that they died as Christians, you know, receiving the baptism of blood. And since the emperor couldn't outwit St. Catherine, he offered her a royal marriage if she would deny the faith, and her refusal landed her in prison. And while the emperor was away, she converted his wife and his captain of the guards and 200 of his soldiers. And upon his return, he had all of them put to death and delivered Catherine back to prison and then to tortures. You know, the famous will of St. Catherine, in reality, several interacting wills, which he invented to torture, they were furnished with, you know, razor-sharp blades and sharp points of iron. It said that all who saw this device trembled, but as soon as it was set in motion, it was miraculously shattered to pieces, which flew in all directions and wounded the spectators. The emperor finally commanded that she be beheaded. And after praying that her mortal remains would be respected, she offered her neck to the executioner. And, you know, the story of St. Catherine continues with the discovery of the intact body of a young and beautiful girl on Mount Sinai in the 9th century. That's 4 centuries later. The church, in the opening prayer of the old mass for her feast day, bears witness to the transport of her body. The prayer was, O God, you who gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai and later had the body of the Blessed Virgin Catherine miraculously carried to the same spot by your holy angels, grant through her merits and prayers, or through the merits of and the prayers of this saint, that we may reach the mountain which is Christ. So let us keep in mind that, you know, fidelity, that if fidelity displayed, you know, by the saints in their martyrdom, you know, cannot be isolated, you know, from their previous lives, but it's logical conclusion, you know. So if we wish to imitate their perseverance, you know, let us first imitate their fidelity to grace. And the emperor Maximinus's blind fury, you know, against St. Catherine is symbolic of the anger of the world, you know, in the face of truth and justice. So when we live a life of truth and justice, you know, we can expect the forces of evil to oppose us. And if you have any doubts, just ask any pro-lifer who's ever prayed in front of an abortuary. You know, our perseverance in truth and good, however, you know, will be everlasting, you know, for those who remain faithful.